Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter. We're going to continue on through our study of the book of 1 Thessalonians here this afternoon. It's good to see everybody who's able to be here. I want to welcome everybody who is watching online. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like birth pangs upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. Let's pray. Great and glorious Heavenly Father, I'm grateful and thankful for this day. I'm thankful for the way that your Scripture informs us, that the way that your Scripture helps us to be ready for your coming, Lord God. I pray that the words that are spoken today might be encouraging, that they might be edifying, that the name of Jesus might be lifted up, and that the saints might be equipped to be able to go out and to do the work of service. I ask all these things in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. So one of the things that's interesting here in particular, if you take a look at verse 1, is that they knew that the day of the Lord would come like a thief. In verse 1, it says, you have no need of anything to be written to you. Well, that should ask, that should bring a question to mind automatically. How'd they know? See, one of the ways that we know is we read it there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's like, oh, okay, that's how I know that the day of the Lord's going to come like a thief. We're going to go to 1 Peter 3 later. But they knew. So one of the ways that they knew is from Paul's previous teaching himself. These are things that he is going over with the congregation as he is communicating the word of God to the saints in Thessalonica. It's part of the discipleship process that he's telling them about when Jesus is coming back. Another way that they would have known is that the books of the New Testament, they were well circulated. So the congregations would have shared amongst one another to the extent that it was possible. We saw that as we were going through the book of Colossians, right? It said, with the church at Laodicea, hey, read the letter that was written to them, and have the church in Laodicea read the letter that is written to you. So there was a sharing that we know that went on. So the books that we have, 1 Thessalonians is actually one of the earlier books, okay, that would have been shared with the congregations in the region. Another way that they would have known about the day of the Lord, which comes like a thief, which we're going to establish here in just a second, is definitional of the Lord's second coming, is they would have known through gifts of prophecy and knowledge. Now, when we think prophecy, we typically think of a future prediction of something to take place. And that is partially true, but prophecy is just a giving forth. And so in that prophecy being a giving forth, sometimes God used prophecy, a giving forth of something that is going to take place in the future. But just so that you know, prophecy is not exclusive to a future prediction. But they would have known through the gift of prophecy, they would have known through the gift of knowledge, those spiritual gifts that were given to individuals in the members of the church in Thessalonica, how the Lord was coming back. That the day of the Lord was going to come like a thief in the night. That's how they knew. But he's also going to remind them, and it's going to be recorded for us, how the day of the Lord is going to come. As I mentioned earlier, the day of the Lord that comes like a thief is specifically and definitionally talking about the Lord's second coming. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. You would glean that from context that this was talking about the Lord's second coming, because I want to remind everybody that the chapter breaks are not inspired, okay? So they're there, they're convenient, I'm glad we have them, but they're not inspired, okay? Paul did not say, okay, now chapter 5, you Thessalonians. just like if you were writing a letter to somebody, you might break it up in paragraphs, but you're not going to go chapter by chapter. Those chapter breaks are artificial. Remember last time we were talking about the order of events in the Lord's second coming, right? Talking about, okay, this is what it's going to look like, and here is when the Christian dead are going to be taken, here is when The Christians who are alive are going to be taken. The Lord is going to come with the saints. Everybody's going to get their resurrection bodies. And then we're going to be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So he actually hasn't changed topics, because that's happening when? At the second coming. He's talking about the day of the Lord that comes like a thief, the Lord's second coming. Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 through 44. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day the Lord is coming. But be sure of this, if the head of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not think that he will. So this is talking about the Lord's second coming there in verse 42, and what is it likened to? It's likened to someone breaking into your house. If you knew when someone was breaking into your house, you'd be waiting for them. Maybe you'd have some cops there. Maybe you'd take some justice into your own hands. One way or another, you'd be waiting for them. You would not just allow your house to be broken into. I remember when the church building at Archbold burned to the ground. I'm thinking about that quite a bit this week because of the house beside us in Wauseon that just burned, Monday night? So we had an abandoned house our direct neighbor in Wauseon, directly to the north. For those of you that have been there, that house petitioned off with the fence. That house on Monday, it burned to the ground. And I happened to be there, so I was kind of watching the thing, and it was kind of crazy. And we had a church fire in Archbold probably about close to 20 years ago now. It was kind of interesting because guy broke in and he burned the church building to the ground. If we would have known when he was coming, we would have stopped him. Like, no, that's not going to take place. That's not going to happen. Thief, you're not going to break in here, and you're not going to burn the church building to the ground. But we didn't know when he was coming, and I don't know. I mean, back then, it was Archbold. We were in the country. I remember as a little kid running around, and you would always find a door that was actually unlocked. I don't know how hard he had to try. It did look like there was some forced entry. But, you know, the day of the Lord that comes like a thief, you don't know when the thief is coming. If you knew when the thief was coming, you'd be ready. And that's why he's telling us here in the scripture is be ready for the coming of the Lord. Because he's going to come at a time when people don't expect him. You can go to Mark 13, 33 through 37, show the same thing. Let's actually go to Luke 12, though. Luke chapter 12. Because it's important to know this, because there's many days of the Lord in the scripture. So that's why I'm making such an emphasis that the day of the Lord that comes like a thief always is definitionally talking about the Lord's second coming, because there are multiple days of the Lord, and if you don't understand that, then you're going to be misinterpreting Scripture to your own detriment. So Luke chapter 12, verses 39 and 40. I was reading chapter 11. I was like, that doesn't make any sense for what I'm trying to prove. All right. Luke chapter 12, 39 and 40. And be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect. Be alert. Be aware. Be prioritizing the right thing. His coming will be unexpected. It's when everyone is saying peace and safety that you better be getting ready. See, I had a pretty good idea that Jesus wasn't coming back that day that Harold Camping said that Jesus was coming back. A whole lot more people were expecting Jesus to come back when Harold Camping said that Jesus was going to come back than every other day, right? And he can come back when he chooses to come back. But what's the scripture tell us? It's when people don't expect it, right? And so it's kind of interesting to me too. One of the things that people always want to know about the Bible is, well, when is Jesus coming back, right? And we're given the answers to everything pertaining to life and godliness. And as a whole, people are like, yeah, I'm not really interested in that. But why don't you tell me when Jesus is coming back? Like the one thing he doesn't tell us, right? He says, be on the alert, be ready, be aware, be prioritizing the right things. And so we want to make sure that we're the people, okay, that are prioritizing the right things. People look for peace and safety. And many times, a majority of people will take peace and safety over self-determination and freedom. But it's interesting how people are looking to earthly institutions that can provide neither peace nor safety instead of the all-powerful God who guarantees peace and safety if you're faithful in Him. It's interesting to me that the number one stated goal of an organization like the United Nations is to provide peace and security. I don't think that this is a particularly political statement. I'll just say this. Take a look at their track record and see how good that the United Nations is at providing peace and security. And so if a behemoth like the United Nations is not very good at providing peace and security with all the resources that are at their disposal, how do you think any other earthly institution is going to do at providing peace and security? And so we want to make sure that that our investment is in the one who can provide true peace and security. The only institution that can provide eternal peace and safety is the institution that is from above. If you take a look at John 3:3-5, we're not going to go there right now, but it talks about how you must be born again. And it's literally, you must be born from above. The Lord's church is an institution that is from above. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our peace, our safety, our security is a heavenly peace, a heavenly safety, and a heavenly security if we remain faithful. And so that puts the burden of responsibility back upon us. Be ready. We're to be ready. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 makes it really clear. Be ready. You don't know when the thief is coming, so be vigilant at all times. Get ready. Get our family ready. Get our friends ready. Get our acquaintances ready, because we are those that know that our master is coming. That is a guarantee. It's just a matter of when. The question is, will we be diligently serving him when he comes? We are those who have prepared for the bridegroom in his coming. Be prepared the wedding supper of the Lamb. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter the third chapter. Looking at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Okay, day of the Lord's coming like a thief. Heavens and earth will pass away, elements destroyed, intense heat, earth works burned up. It's important to know this, okay? When the day of the Lord comes like a thief, the whole thing is going up in flames. That's helpful to know, because the day of the Lord that comes like a thief is synonymous with Jesus' second coming. The whole earth is going up in flames. You know what that does? Is that kills the false doctrine of premillennialism right there. Because if it's all going up in flame, what room is there for a thousand-year kingdom here on the earth? There's not. And that's consistent with the rest of the scripture. And so, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 there, he's talking about the day of the Lord that comes like a thief. He's connecting these things together, and that lets us know there's no sort of millennial reign is going to take place somewhere in the future, that rather the millennial reign is the church age that we are experiencing right now. And so the emphasis then is to be ready, to walk in the light. We saw in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 through 6, that same walking in the light emphasis is there. Well, look here in 2nd, hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with an intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. So also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So he starts out by emphasizing holy conduct and godliness. I think a question for each one of us to ask, a very practical question that we can all ask ourselves, is how do we treat those that we are responsible to, and how do we treat those that we are responsible for? It says holy conduct and godliness. See, we're responsible to people, aren't we? We're responsible to our spouse, to maybe our boss at work, maybe our customer. We're responsible to those people and what the Lord is expecting from us as his ambassadors, as those who are preparing and waiting for the coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord that comes like a thief. How are we treating those who we are responsible to? It's a pretty good measuring stick. And how are we treating, those who we are responsible for in holy conduct and in godliness? Well, who are we responsible for? Responsible for our spouse, our kids, our employees. Those are the type of people that we're responsible for. Are we looking at them in the context of living out lives that speak to the truthfulness of the fact that Jesus is coming soon? Do our lives reflect that we really believe that? Or is it just something that's being mouthed? Oh yeah, we got the theology just right. Okay, well, we need to have the theology just right, and we also need to have the practice just right. What living by faith really looks like. Notice, too, that it says, looking for and hastening the coming of the Lord. Do we believe that the day of the Lord is coming like a thief? Where's our focus? Are we fixing our eyes? One of the things that's interesting, that we can have an impact on when the day of the Lord is coming. A hastening means working towards a goal. And so being in Christ, our evangelism, the way that we reach out to other people, the way that we build the temple of the Lord, has an impact on when Jesus is coming again. If we get the job done, he comes back. Looking for and hastening. Well, again, God's a pretty big God, right? Because Is there a day of the Lord? Yep. Is Jesus coming soon? Yep. When's it going to happen? Well, we don't know. But we get to actually have an impact on Jesus' second coming. When the job's done, we go home. And so, do we really believe that? And is that reflected in the way that we act and interact with the people who are around us? What are we really looking for? It says, a new heavens and a new earth. See, God created the material realm. You take a look at Genesis chapter 1, he created the current heavens and the current earth, right? God created, you know, the earth. God created the sky and space, the heavens, okay? God created all that. Hey, it's going to be wiped away. We're looking towards the new heaven and a new earth. That is, there will be a spiritual realm. It's going to be a spiritual realm. Is that what we're focused on? The fact that when we get our resurrected bodies, we're going to that spiritual realm. Be diligent to be found in him in peace. One of the things that's interesting is that the scripture here tells us that it takes diligence to be found in him in peace. It doesn't just happen. Like, sometimes I think that we think that things should just go smooth. Sometimes we think that things should just be peaceful. Sometimes we think that things people should just get along. I think things should go smooth. I think things should be peaceful, and I wish people would just get along. But that tends to be not the way that it happens, as we're all being perfected in our character to look just like Jesus Christ. There tends to be bumps in those roads for all of us. And so it takes some diligence on my part individually, on your part individually, to be found in him in peace. Diligence's definition is careful and consistent work or effort over a period of time. Well, that consistent effort over a period of time is super important. Charles Dickens said this. He said, "I never could have done what I have done without the habits of punctuality, order, and diligence, without the determination to concentrate myself on one subject at a time." You know, you take a look at somebody like Charles Dickens and the amount of, you know, great copious works that he was responsible for, and what's he say? Well, one bite at a time, one brick at a time, one step at a time. That's what it's going to take. We need to apply that same diligence to being found in him in peace. As Christians, we possess the peace that the Lord gives to us, but sometimes we need to remember to practice the peace that's given. Just because you have it doesn't mean you're using it. You know, in my living room, I have a couple of 75-pound dumbbells in my house. And, you know, I was doing P90X for a while, obviously not recently. I was doing P90X for a while, and, you know, it was going good, and I was, like, feeling really motivated, and a buddy of mine was like, "Hey, you want these dumbbells?" I was like, "Yeah, absolutely." So I took these 75-pound dumbbells. I was like, "Okay, we can use them for squats, that sort of thing." I'm certainly not doing one-handed 75-pounders. Do not want to give that impression, like you couldn't tell. You know, that's where, that's what we... So I put them in my living room. I carried them in, you know, make sure Brenna saw, and, you know, I carried them in there, and you know, they've sat there, and they've sat there, and they don't get up and move themselves, and they continue to sit there. You know, I've got this. I possess the 75-pound dumbbells that I never use. I have the peace of Jesus Christ. You have the peace of Jesus Christ. Are you using it? Are you possessing it? It's in your possession. What utility are you getting out of it? See, sometimes we think, "Oh, I don't feel very peaceful. There must be a problem." Maybe that's the symptom, not the cause. Maybe your cause, depending on what you're, you know, this is going to tell you if your cause is good or not. The objective word of God is going to tell you whether you have peace or not. And based upon that, it's like, okay, then I can determine my feelings. Maybe it's not that, you know, there's a big spiritual problem. Maybe the fact is I need to pick up my dumbbells. Probably be a good idea for me too. So spotless and blameless. It's before the Lord that we do all things. He sees it all. So it's important that each one of us be incredibly honest, transparent before him, because he knows. We want to be the spotless, blameless bride of Christ who has readied herself for his coming. The book of Revelation talks about how we are to put on the wedding clothes, that we are to put on the wedding garments, and we're to regard his patience as salvation. See, there are unprincipled men out there, and we're to be on guard because Satan's going to take his shots. We're going to talk about this a little bit next week as well. But Satan, he takes shots, and he takes shots at people at different times and in different places, and he wants to take a shot on people because he doesn't like losing souls to Jesus Christ. And so for each one of us, it's important that we be on guard against unprincipled men. Also, if you take a look here in 2 Peter chapter 3, it's telling us to be steadfast. Be steadfast. We want to be the type of people that we're consistently getting the job done. That we are the type of people who can win because we've applied that diligence and we steadfastly move on to the next step. Because we know the day of the Lord that comes like a thief is coming. That's the reality. So that gives us, that places the paradigm for us that affects everything else that we do. Be steadfast. And then finally, great encouragement for each and every one of us, grow. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Two things here. Number one, you've got to be in Christ to grow in Christ. You're not in Christ no ability to be able to grow in grace, because grace doesn't really apply to you until you're until you become a Christian, and then you're saved by grace and knowledge. One of the great things about how God has grace and knowledge connected here is that knowledge by itself, Scripture tells us, it puffs up, right? Oh, I know a whole bunch of stuff. But again, that's kind of like, well, we've got it right theologically without the actual practice, right? But the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ allows us to grow, or allows us to practice that right theology on a day-to-day basis. And so that grace that we're able to grow in gives us the ability to understand the way that God views us and the way that God is patient with us, and that allows us to grow. As Bob was pointing out earlier, is that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ allows us to play to our potential. It allows us to go hard because God isn't judging us that, okay, well, you know, if the performance is not up to par today, you're out, fella. You threw an interception, you're out, fella. That's not how God's looking at us. God's looking at us, helping us to grow in grace. And along with that grace is growing in knowledge. And so those two things go together so that it's theory and it's practice together, living out faith. And so for each one of us, growing in grace and knowledge is what God wants from us, which helps us to take a look at our lives and say, I can take one step forward today. That's really what God's wanting from me, is to take one step forward from wherever I'm at today. And then the other thing that he really desires is for us to extend that grace and that knowledge to other people. They need to be ready. They need to understand that the day of the Lord that comes like a thief, it's a reality for all of us. Let's let that knowledge be known. And then let's help one another as we're in Jesus Christ with the grace. Give each other grace to be able to move forward, that together we're all crossing the finish line. Let's get that job done.
Six, six, six.